Today's Holy Gospel from Matthew is such a powerful event. How powerful, you might ask? It's been recorded in all four of the Gospels. Like today in Matthew 3, 13 to 17, in Mark chapter 1, 9 to 12, in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22, and in John chapter 1, 32 to 34. That means you can take it to the bank. When something appears more than once, it's important. That's like when you say holy. Holy is wonderful. But if you say something is holy, holy, it is incredibly holy. But if you say it is holy, 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 like God is, get out of the way and let him do his stuff. The fact that it is reported in all four Gospels, because each Gospel, as Deacon Bob just recently told us, each Gospel was written for a different audience. This covers the gamut, so everyone can hear the fact. And we're going to talk about that today. What took place in the Jordan River on that day, I personally can't even begin to imagine what it must have been like witnessing heaven being opened and then for the very first time being in the incredible physical presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And through this, God stresses the importance of baptism in our lives. Baptism also indicates the importance of water in our lives for cleansing and refreshing. There's nothing like taking a nice cool dip in a pool on a hot summer day. It refreshes you. There's nothing like getting into a shower and washing off the day's stuff and feeling clean, refreshed. Water is incredible. It nourishes us as well. It takes care of a thirst that some of us might have on a dry day. I believe that the main reason for the Holy Spirit's visible presence at Jesus' baptism was to demonstrate that he, at that point, was empowering Jesus for what God the Father had called him to do. Remember, even though he was God, he was also human. And so he needed that empowerment. And then God the Father spoke from heaven and made it crystal clear that he was pleased with Jesus. Up until that point, Jesus had lived in relative anonymity in that little town called Nazareth. He had not performed a single miracle, preached a single sermon, or begun his public ministry. This, my friends, was the start of something big. Do you realize the Holy Spirit outwardly affirmed the divinity of Jesus, meaning that he was God? It happened in the very same water that parted many years before so that the Ark of the Covenant could cross on dry land into the Promised Land. It's recorded in Joshua chapter 3. That's your homework for later. Take a look at it. It's amazing what happened. When the feet of the Levite priest touched the water rolled back by God, giving Israel a reminder that they were entering the Promised Land the same way that they left the slavery of Egypt, as recorded in Exodus. And it was on dry ground by his miracle and his power. There's no doubt about it. The place that this happened was just north of the Dead Sea, across from Jericho, in the very same water where something happened with Elijah. Elijah's chariot of fire ascended into heaven right after the waters had been parted, when Elijah took his cloak and touched the water, and the water rolled back, and he walked across on dry ground. And then Elisha, who, as you know, was the follower of Elijah and took up where Elijah left off, he took the cloak after Elijah went into heaven. And when, as recorded in 2 Kings 2:14, when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. These were the times that God parted the waters. Once at the Red Sea, three times in the Jordan River. as a sign of his presence and his power covering his people. And now we read today that John the Baptist gave an even greater proclamation of Jesus' identity for all to hear at that spot in the Jordan near Jericho. Only this time it wasn't the waters that was parted, it was the heavens. And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove as a visual sign. And then God the Father spoke. This was no ordinary place, and this was no ordinary man. God the Father speaking pointed directly to his Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit appearing as a dove also pointed to Jesus. There's no denying the evidence that Jesus is the long-promised Messiah, God's anointed Son, who would carry our sins to the cross and teach us how to live. John the Baptist was apparently not a very shy person. He got in trouble all the time speaking up and testifying to what he witnessed, to what he saw and what he heard. And that was this time what Jesus was the Messiah, and he would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Incredibly, most Jewish groups in Jesus' time believed that the Holy Spirit was not as active in prophetic inspiration as it was in the Old Testament. They sort of felt that he went dormant. Not true. They felt God had stopped speaking to them through his Holy Spirit when the last Old Testament prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, died. There was a long period of time between Malachi and Matthew. For many of the people who listened to John's claim about Jesus, the Holy Spirit was present, and that Jesus would be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit. It must mean that the Messiah had come or was near. Now, Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, didn't begin his official ministry, or his public ministry, until John the Baptist had been put in prison by Herod Antipas. Do you remember John's words? After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. John 1:30. John the Baptist was physically born first. You might remember, as we talked about during Advent, that his mother Elizabeth was pregnant when Jesus' mother Mary came to visit, and the child John leapt in her womb at the presence of the baby Jesus in Mary's womb. Well, truly, I believe that John's words of after me signified that Jesus would begin his ministry after John. And you remember why John was put in prison? Because he told Herod Antipas that he shouldn't be marrying his brother's sister. And you know the story about the beheading and so on that took place with John the Baptist. Jesus would go off into the desert after being baptized. He went to the wilderness right behind this place in Jericho, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and there he was tempted by Satan, but he did not sin. And then following Jesus' 40 days and the temptation in the wilderness, he went back home to the Galilee region and met the beginning of his 12 disciples at Capernaum, where they lived and worked as fishermen. Jesus was prepared for his ministry by his baptism in the Jordan and his temptation in the wilderness. And now was his time to publicly begin serving the world. Jesus would receive word that John the Baptist had been arrested, and therefore the work of the one who prepared the way of the Lord was now complete. Jesus, as I mentioned, goes into the Galilee region. He goes to Nazareth, as is recorded in Luke chapter 4, and Capernaum beside the sea. And he begins to proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God by word and deed, or action. As Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. We read this morning that Isaiah said the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles, open the eyes of the blind, free captives from prison, and release from the dungeons those who live in darkness. That was the prophecy that Jesus would fulfill. John the Baptist was telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Well, in essence, to change their behavior. And I do believe that Jesus said the same thing. Jesus is the great light who appears to those who sit in darkness. He has come to rescue those who are captives to sin. And my friends, there's no doubt about it. Once you have Jesus in your life, that's the start of something big. I want to share with you the words of John the Baptist, who testified about what he just witnessed that day in the Jordan. He said this, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. Those are the words of John the Baptist. There's no doubt about it. This was the start of something big. All of this should strongly, very strongly signify to us the importance of the sacrament of baptism and the blessing and benefits that are received in it. The Holy Spirit, through water and the anointing of oil, is imparted upon those who receive the sacrament. And the cleansing, the spiritual cleansing that takes place, rising to new life with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The words are simple. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then the anointing with oil, and a sign of the cross is made on the person's head, and they are sealed as Christ's own through the Holy Spirit forever. Very powerful. It's a very powerful event in the life of a person, one that we believe is so special that it only needs to be done once. You know, Jesus' baptism was not the only time that God the Father spoke about Jesus. You may recall that there was one more time where God the Father would speak similar words to the world, and that was on the mountain of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, you might call them the inner circle, to the mountain in the north of Israel. And as I read to you from Matthew 17, verse 5, "A bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Oh, just that the world would do that. Take the words of Jesus. If you have a Bible that has the red letters, you can very easily listen to what Jesus says by reading them out loud to yourself. If the world would do that, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today in many places. Listen to him. And so in closing, it's my prayer that each one of us would take those words seriously and do all that we can to carry them out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.